Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, this is going to be a good one, but before we get into it, last night was a special night because of our producer, Ryan Redhawk.
Hey, we got to give a shout out to our fearless producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. He went fishing, I guess it was last weekend.
48 hours ago.
Yes. And came to us with fresh, is it yellowfin tuna yesterday?
Yes, sir.
And then I called our studio owner operator in the Pensacola market, who is in a previous life was a chef. He gave me a few pointers. We grilled some. We put some on the griddle, and it was so delicious. But you and Abby had tuna last
Absolutely.
Night, too, right?
And he had so much. I think he had close to 1,000 pounds of tuna that he sold some of it to one of the top sushi restaurants in town. So people all over Atlanta will be enjoying that.
That's right.
Well, congratulations. You're not going to make so much money doing that you're going to quit hanging out with us.
No, but I'm not going to stop fishing either. So, but glad you guys enjoyed it.
Put your orders in for his next trip.
Yes, sir.
This is going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming Senior Vice President of Alternate Channels with Birch Communications, Mr. Paul Masters. How are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me this morning. Looking forward to it.
Now, how do you like your tuna?
Not rare, I can tell you that. Not a big sushi fan. I'd rather catch it and let someone else eat it.
There you go. Well, Paul, can you share a little bit about Birch? What are you guys doing for folks?
Sure. So Birch is a 20-year-old company, started in 1996. So we're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. Yeah. So big deal for us this year. Birch it really has its roots in kind of small, medium-sized businesses, you know, traditional analog type services. But not a lot of people know this about us, and we're looking forward to sharing the message today. We really have grown our portfolio of advanced services over the last, you know, really 24 months. We are a world-class data center provider, hosted PBX solution on a enterprise broad soft deployment, as well as one of the major providers of internet access throughout the entire country. We have approaching 600,000 buildings in our portfolio now of fiber, and with plans to grow that to 1 million by the end of 2016.
Now, your relationship to Birch is kind of unusual, right?
My relationship to Birch?
Right.
Not for Birch, it's not unusual. You know, Birch really, since 2008, had a stated a strategy of growing through acquisition. So, something like 28 or 29 acquisitions since 2008.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, average something like 3 or 4 a year over that time span. My company, actually, company I helped co-found and run for 15 years with my father-in-law here in Atlanta, we were purchased by Birch in, almost 3 years ago today at the end of August 2013. So I am... like a lot of people at Birch, you know, came to the company through an acquisition. So it's been interesting to go, you know, spend my last decade and a half in a startup type of environment to go to, you know, really a corporate environment, something like 1,500 employees today, you know, spread out across United States, Canada, Puerto Rico. So it's been an interesting journey for me. But
can you share a little bit about that? Because a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs and, you know, aspire one day to be maybe acquired or sell their venture.
Oh, gosh. We could spend an entire day talking about that. You know, you just don't know what's on the other side of the sale. You
right.
know, you think you sell your business and you ride off into the sunset one day, and that's sort of how you dream it up. But it doesn't always work like that. You know, for a lot of people, it does.
Right.
Certainly, you know, staying on with the company, you know, we closed one day and I was, you know, the co-founder and part owner of a company. And the next day I walked in, literally the next morning I walked in and I was not. So, you know, just I'm undiagnosed ADD. So, you know, getting used to the, you know, the processes and the procedures and the policies that are required to run, you know, a large multi-million dollar organization, but one you don't see in a small startup type of environment. You know, just it takes getting used to.
Right.
But it's been a lot of fun to
It's
to
probably
see.
A lot of resources, though, that you
That's
didn't have,
That's what
right?
I was going to say. It's been a lot of fun to see how, you know, a multi-million dollar organization just goes about business every day and the resources that, you know, are just not laying around but are at your disposal right. that, you know, in your entrepreneurial life, you're like, gosh, if I only had, you know, right. and, you know, and at Birch, it's like, well, they're just right down the hall, you know, so it's been interesting.
So I've known you for 10 minutes now.
Yep.
Consider yourself diagnosed.
Okay.
No, you move very fast. So I hear this term fiber a lot.
Right.
What is it exactly? What are the advantages?
So very simply, it's internet access, right? It's just, you know, like people have DSL or a cable modem at their house. So we're just selling internet access. I say just, it's much more sophisticated than that, or certainly can be. But, you know, as you see this migration to the cloud, everybody talks about the cloud, and it's sometimes hard to understand what people mean by that.
Right.
As you see people, you know, taking their solutions off their premise and moving it, you know, to a hosted environment somewhere, the very first question is, well, how much bandwidth do you have? You know, because that becomes a choke point, certainly, because, you know, now you've got to get out of your building, you know, into a data center somewhere. And the only way to get there is through bandwidth. So we see as a company that as we grow our advanced services, and not just us, I mean, that's where the world is going, right? I saw something the other day that said, what, 95% of all businesses have deployed some form of cloud. So from as small as like a Dropbox solution to using Office 365 now to, you know, very sophisticated, you know, data center types of applications, that's where the world is going. So the natural byproduct of that is going to be an increasing demand for more bandwidth. And so that's where, you know, we see kind of our future is.
So fiber in my mental picture, it's faster in a bigger pipe.
Yes.
Than some of the other
technologies. Yes, you're right. I did not answer that part, but essentially it makes the internet go faster.
That works for me.
Yep.
So now when you go into an area, how does, like, you can run fiber to a specific building? Is that your value proposition?
Well, we can, and we do have our own fiber assets. The majority of what we're doing now around fiber is really partnering with other providers. AT&T is a big partner of ours. Zayo, XO, you know, several other companies I'm sure I'll forget to mention here, but it's very capital intensive, very labor intensive, and we're able to kind of leverage our partnerships with companies who have already invested in those assets.
Then what's the advantage of a building working with you as opposed to an AT&T then?
We're not AT&T for starters, you know, and
that's enough for a lot of
us. And AT&T is a great partner of ours. I mean, we're one of just a very, very small handful of strategic partners on their fiber initiative. But it's, you know, the old conversation you want to have about dealing with, you know, the large behemoth company who, you know, may or may not know your name, you know, may or may not answer the phone, may or may not be, you know, onshore, that sort of thing. All of our call centers are based here in the U.S., you know, so that's a big deal to us.
So customer service-wide, you're more responsive and you're more customer-centric, you think?
Yes. I wouldn't compare ourselves to AT&T necessarily, but, you know, that's a big focus for us. We are I think, three-time winner of the Benchmark Portal Call Center of Excellence.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a critical component, we feel like, to our success is, you know, trying to create a Ritz-Carlton type of experience, if you will. I know it's easy to say that and much harder to do that, but that is important to us.
Now, you've got a new CEO.
We do.
I bet he has ideas.
He's got a lot of ideas.
Lay a couple of them on us. So what's that been like?
For starters, you know, it is this idea of us growing through organic sales. So we are so thankful for the history that we've had for our senior leadership over the last 10 years. They've gotten the company into a great position. But we just feel like through Tony Tomei's direction that the time has come for us to grow organically. And so that changes a lot of things for us, you know, both internally from an infrastructure standpoint. I'd say really our infrastructure has been set up over the last 10 years to integrate acquisitions. And that looks a lot different than, you know, creating company to support organic sales.
So now in the markets you're in, you're going to try to grow out those markets?
We are. And in my role, you know, Birch has a rich history of working directly with end users. But my role is to grow our partner community. So, you know, we spend a lot of time with traditional telecom agents, with IT vendors, with VARs, with MSPs, even other carriers and technology solution providers. So that's what alternate channels means in our world, but we're essentially selling through partners who are selling to end users.
Now, how do you develop those relationships?
Boy, it's a combination of things. fortunately, it's not too complicated, so you know I can do the job, but it's really all about mind share. You know, it's just about mind share is the name of the game, we think, for alternate channels. It's we joke and say it's the last provider in who gets the next quote out. And while it's not quite that way, you know, these partners are very good at what they do, and they have a lot of providers coming at them. So we have to make sure that when they see an opportunity for X, that X equals Birch.
Right.
And so we spend a lot of time hosting events, you know, just creating relationships. So
because these are the people that are the boots on the ground in a given market, right? So
exactly.
They're the ones talking to the people that you want to put Birch Communications into.
Exactly.
So now what's the value proposition you're offering them so that when they go there, they do think Birch?
Combination of things, you know, certainly in our world, there is a financial component to being a partner
right.
with Birch. And so
it makes financial sense.
It makes financial sense for the partner
right.
when they think about Birch versus another provider. But, you know, the other component to working through partners is ease of use. And they've got a lot of choices for technology, and they're going to take, I'll call it the path of least resistance, although I don't mean that pejoratively. I just mean they're going to choose the provider that's easiest to do business with.
Right.
And so all things being equal, we can't create more work for them. We've
right.
got to
you're
create less work for
right.
them.
Right. You're yeah. trying to take away hassles,
exactly.
not create them.
Exactly.
Are you guys on the trade show circuit at all? Do you go visit and or exhibit at trade shows?
We do. Most of the trade shows that we attend are partner specific. As a matter of fact, we'll be in Washington, D.C. next week for an event called Channel Partners. And it's a biannual event, usually one in Las Vegas every year and then one on the
East
Coast.
It's a Birch event?
It is not. It is a Channel Partners event. And so these types of partners that I'm talking about all come to this event, A, for educational purposes, seminars
yeah.
on latest technologies. You know, SD-WAN
right.
is a huge buzzword now. But providers like Birch will be there introducing themselves to partners and helping make our case for why, you know, across a range of technologies, they should
consider
choose
right.
us.
As well, I have a trade show idea for you.
Tell me.
My wife is from Pennsylvania Dutch Country. Well,
okay.
She grew up in Philadelphia, but they vacationed in Pennsylvania Dutch Country, and
okay.
they have up there something called Birch Beer. It's root beer.
Really?
But it just knocks the top out of your average root beer. It's called Birch Beer. You give away Birch Beer at the trade show.
I'm making a
that
note.
One's free. that one's on me, okay?
All right. That's awesome.
So now when you're at these events, are you doing education, you're speaking, or you have a booth like or a combination?
All of the above. Hospitality suites, looking for opportunities to participate in roundtable discussions.
You sponsor the internet?
Yes. Yes. The internet brought to you by Birch.
That's nice.
So now in your role, is that a big shift from when you were the founder of this communication company to doing this, or was this what you were doing previously?
Actually, it uh, is exactly what we were doing previously.
So that was your strategy.
We were 100% partner driven. We had no direct sales force at all. So part of the attraction, I think, for
that
Birch,
was your superpower.
Yeah. Part of the attraction to Birch buying us was getting into a particular practice that they didn't have, but also, you know, getting access to a different distribution channel that they did not have. So
what's your favorite part? What do you enjoy about it the most?
Talking to people. If you hadn't figured that out, I like to talk.
I sense that. Yeah. You really do like to just hang out. And I do. You like the relationship side of this thing.
I do. I feel like I'm in jail when I'm in the office. Like, literally. I stepped off my office the other day, and I think it's the size of a jail cell. So, I do. I feel like I'm in prison if I'm not out running my mouth to people.
So, now, can you share a little bit about your pitch? If there's people out there that you want to partner with, can you share, like, what's that first conversation look like? What's the pain they're having that you're going to be able to solve for?
Right. So while we're very good at what we do, I don't know that we're the best at any particular component. But I think when you look at being able to layer a multitude of technologies that a customer needs, from as simple as single POTS lines, we sell a lot of POTS still, and people laugh at that. You know, it's not even low tech, it's no tech. But in a multi-location retail type of environment, they still need their phones to ring.
Right.
And so they are not yet ready to make the leap. Most of them aren't ready to make the leap yet to an IP type of technology. And at some point they will be. And so certainly we can help them with that migration when they get to the point of that discussion. But, you know, still alarm lines, fax lines are all analog driven, you know, from two meg internet access all the way up to 1 gig speeds. You know, you're looking at layering a pretty sophisticated hosted PBX solution on top of that, complete with, we're rolling out our UC1 platform next month, which is essentially, you know, the collaboration tools, like I said, a world-class data center that's a Cisco-powered network that, you know, provides infrastructure as a service. We'll hopefully be getting a disaster recovery as a service solution out not too long. So, and that's all 50 states. That's Canada, Puerto Rico. So I think our competitive advantage is you probably can't come up with a need that we can't provide and provide on a single invoice. And not too many carriers can say that.
They don't have that depth of service.
They don't. When you look at AT&T, for instance, you know, they can only provide analog services in their 22-state footprint. You know, or you look at, like, you know, a hosted provider like a RingCentral or an 8x8, as good as they are at what they do, they don't have the network piece.
Right.
So it's, you know, 1 and 1 equals 3, I think, for us when you talk about being able to just provide a multitude of solutions kind of end-to-end for
now,
a customer.
Now, when you're working with a customer and you are they're utilizing multiple services across multiple states.
Right.
How is that from an account standpoint? Like, how do you serve them and be able to serve them, you know, nationwide?
Right. Yeah, it's really pretty easy. I mean, there are no geographic boundaries associated with what we do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got sales engineers in every major market. We've got our design engineering team. We've got service coordinators internally. So we're pretty used to working with multi-location customers spread across geographies.
So like you mentioned, AT&T's in 22 states.
Right.
So if you're in that 23rd state,
right,
that's a problem now,
right?
Right.
Right.
So for you, it's like kind of one point of contact or
right,
one company to deal with.
We like it. Yeah, we like it when they're in the 23rd state because that's, you know, that's when we get
the
to
value
show up.
Really exactly. Says, look, now you're not dealing with two, you're dealing with one
right.
Still.
Right.
That's a great title for your next white paper, the 23rd
state. The 23rd state.
No, but with that kind of wingspan, and I have every reason to believe it's going to continue to expand, are there cultural challenges? And I'm not just talking about Yankees. I'm not talking about just going above the Mason-Dixon. You know, as you go into Puerto Rico and Canada and as you continue to expand, are you running into cultural differences that you have to take into account when you're cultivating and building these relationships?
Yeah, certainly we see that a little bit, I would say, just the differences in how we do business here in the South, you know, versus how how we do business in Canada. We've got a great staff in Canada. I've got an office in Toronto. Those people are wonderful. I got the opportunity to spend time with them. You know, at the end of the day, I think business is business and people still like to buy from people, you know? So all of those idiosyncrasies, you know, being what they are still, I think, you know, people like to deal with people.
Well, and they like to deal with people who they know in their heart have a genuine invested interest in their success. And they have that level of authenticity. And right. It comes through in your voice. And I suspect it comes through in everything you guys do.
We certainly try. I mean, it's been a kind of a shifting of the tide just even the last 3 months with the new CEO and talking about this Ritz-Carlton experience that we aspire to for our customers. You know, growing organically, like I said, creates just an entirely new mentality about how we do business every day, you know, and the level of training, the level of technology that we're applying internally to help our folks do their jobs better. You know, it's I've said this a couple of times now. So even though we are a 20-year-old company, in a lot of respects, it feels like a startup. You know, it's a $700 million startup, but it feels like a startup.
Right, because of you are attacking the market totally differently. So it, in a lot of respects, it is.
Right. And just the internal attitude, you know, the culture that is starting to kind of emanate throughout
right,
the organization.
Right, because if you're always adding people, that's a different kind of around the office feel
right.
as opposed to, okay, now we got who we got.
Right.
And let's kind of grow out from here.
Right.
That's a different way of looking at the world.
And it's a challenge. I mean, it's easy to grow through acquisition. It has its own set of problems,
right.
But it's easy to grow through acquisition. You know, can you actually go out and sell something
one
every
at
day?
A time now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Instead of 100 at a time
exactly,
or 200.
Exactly.
Now let's talk about Atlanta a little bit. How do you attack the Atlanta market?
It's through a combination. So we have direct sales offices in, I think, 7 markets around the country. Birch being an Atlanta-based company, this is, you know, kind of a ground zero for us from a direct standpoint. So we've got a team of account executives based here in Atlanta. They're armed with sales engineers. We also have a very, very large presence of partners here in Atlanta being what it is. So we basically work with those partners through what we call national channel managers. So, you know,
do you feel like you have to make Atlanta kind of a big splash because it is your hometown, or is this just another market in the nation? Or
no, I mean, we definitely want Atlanta to be, you know, the shining city on the hill for us. Fortunately, you know, Atlanta being what it is, it's not that hard. You know, you aren't out, you know, scratching and pecking every day looking for somebody to sell something to.
Right.
There's an abundance of opportunities.
But
here
there's
in
also a lot of competitors,
there,
I would think.
There are a lot of competitors here in Atlanta. So, you know, this is the good with the bad. I'd rather have opportunity and figure out how to compete than, you know, out looking for somebody to sell something.
Sounds
to.
Like a founder mentality there.
You mentioned these sales engineers. The idea of a sales engineer role has always fascinated me. I've never been involved directly in an arena where you needed someone with the technical expertise in addition to that, you know, person that goes out and kind of shakes the bushes. Are they paired with someone else, or do they handle the entire sales response? How's it structured?
Right.
For you guys?
So either a sales rep or a channel manager, you know, when they find an opportunity to have a conversation with a customer that requires a depth of technical expertise that they don't have or don't feel comfortable having that conversation,
mm-hmm.
first call they make is to one of our sales engineers. And so they really are a unique breed. I am not objective about them because I have the privilege of having oversight of them. So I think they're the most undervalued asset in our company. And it's because they bridge the gap, and that's so difficult to bridge. You know, you've got the geek speak that we talk about, you know, when you start talking about bits and bytes and those sorts of things. But, you know, your eyes kind of roll back in your head after about 30 seconds of that. And, you know, I when they finish, you finally say, tell me what that means to my business, you know, and they're able to translate that. So it really is a unique role. Not every engineer
can do that. Absolutely.
Can fit that bill. So I love those guys. We joke that when I became responsible for them. They had to tell me that cloud didn't start with K. But they really are awesome. And I think in any organization done correctly, it's really kind of the secret weapon for their success.
Now, your objective for 2016 is to get to how many buildings about?
1 million.
And you're at what now?
550 or 600, I think.
So then you got some work to do,
We got
some work to do. He's on target, though, I think. Yeah.
So now, like in Atlanta, how are you going to get there? Like, what is the, you just go out there and knock on doors? You're trying, who in the building?
And bring those smart guys with him.
Right.
Right.
Like, who in the building is the person your people want to talk to?
Usually it's either IT or chief financial officer, and it would just depend, you know, on that particular organization, the size of it really, and just what the resources are. But it's usually IT or chief financial officer.
And then the pain they're having, because right now they're with somebody else, right?
Yeah. And the pain they're having is, at least when you talk about internet, is it's really slow.
Too slow.
And I'm paying a lot, right. You know, so yeah. What can you do for me there? Mm-hmm. And so as pervasive as cloud is becoming, the conversation still begins around network. You know, it all kind of starts with, you know, how fast is my internet?
Right.
You know?
Is that usually the typical pain point?
It is.
Because I know I've been in buildings where it starts out great in the morning, and then by the, you know, when everybody's at work, all of a sudden no one can get on, or it's spotty.
Right.
And that's something that you guys can help solve.
Exactly. And, you know, depending on the critical nature of your bandwidth, you know, when you start talking about higher speeds, you know, when you get in the 50-100 meg speeds and above, then you can start to provide, you know, some quality of service. Mm-hmm. With that helps kind of control what you're talking about, because, you know, typically you get an integrated circuit, and the more people that are talking, the less bandwidth you have, you know. So you've got X amount of bandwidth, and however it gets used up, it gets used up. But, you know, when you start being able to provide some, what, you know, everybody calls Q of S, then you can sort of control those types of frustrations that people have.
I can see it in Lee's eyes. He has a prospect in mind. Don't you? I think both know.
There's a lot of buildings out there. So now, what's up next for you guys? What are you going to do later today?
Back to the office. Lots of meetings.
They're going to lock you in a room.
Yes. Lots of meeting. I'll be kicking out a window probably about 3 o'clock.
And then if a building or if somebody in IT or a CFO wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. Our website's www.birch.com. My email address is pretty easy. paul.masters@birch.com. Masters like the golf tournament. So
it's easy to remember here in Georgia.
It is easy to remember.
And then on the website, there's a lot of information that can answer some basic questions. And
absolutely,
if they want to reach out to a salesperson, there's information about how to do that as well.
Absolutely. We'd be happy to help.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and our producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.